Hello, and welcome back to The Friendly Unknown. I'm your host, Allison Felice. Thanks for joining me today. In today's episode, I speak with the wonderful Katie Benn. Katie is a multidisciplinary artist from San Francisco, currently living in Southern Oregon. She's inspired by all things magical and mysterious, dreamy, silly, and absurd. She's a painter, muralist, illustrator, textile designer, and creator of zines and various art products. She has worked with clients including Google, Facebook, WeWork, Masterclass, and much more. In addition to her creative work, Katie is also a practicing evidential medium. She has been connecting with spirit since childhood and has strengthened her connection through years of private study, training with renowned psychic mediums in the US and UK, and offering in-person and online readings to her extended community. Katie's mediumship is known to be down-to-earth, compassionate, healing, and heart-focused as she works to connect people with their loved ones that have passed on. I've been wanting to talk to Katie for years because I love her work and am so interested in the way she explores her world and puts it into her art. So I'm very excited to bring you our conversation today. Without further ado, here's my conversation with Katie. Katie, thanks so much for being here. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm excited. I feel like we've been wanting to talk for years, or at least I've been wanting to talk to you for years, because everything you post, I like. So I'm like...
Well, that's very nice of you. I feel the same. Back at you.
Thank you. But yeah, like, I am such a fan of your work. I feel like the work you make, it's like you're having a conversation with yourself and everyone gets to tune into it. And it's like you're kind of exploring your own depths and your dreams. And I love how free you are with creating and just putting out new ideas, new explorations in this like beautiful artwork. And it's also so playful and fun. Like, it, I can really feel your inner child coming through in your work too.
Thank you. I definitely feel that way. Trying to let the whole self kind of run the show rather than compartmentalizing, which I think I did a lot earlier in my creative career.
Yeah. Yeah, I can relate to that. I feel like I'm still working on that. So I think when I see your work, that's why, like, I'm really like sort of jealous or envious of you, and also like, that's what I want. Like, that's why I'm envious, because like you feel like more free and more like playful. That's where my work wants to go.
Thank you. I mean, I hope that's one hope, I guess, with the work that I'm doing, is that it is hopefully unlocking some doors for people. And removing some barriers to getting closer to the self and closer to the work that you want to be making. And that doesn't even have to be, you know, illustrative work, just whatever you're doing in life. I mean, I really feel like that's like a really strong thread that's running through my work and has been for a while, because I think it took me, I mean, I hate to say it, but I feel like it took me the last like 5 years of my life to really start feeling like, oh, now I think I actually really understand who I am as a person. And even though I might feel a little scared, there's no other option. Like, I feel like I exhausted a lot of options in life. Like, I worked a lot of different jobs, and I just got to a point where I was like, I'm being presented with an opportunity to be my authentic self, like more outwardly. And I have to take it, because if I don't, I'm going to keep having this feeling, which I had for a long period of time, like working in a corporate job or working, even moving into doing freelance creatively, I still felt like I was kind of reining myself in. Which I think a lot that happens to a lot of creative people when they first get into things, because it's almost like when you move into a creative career, you take a big leap. It's like there's an element of like wanting to find community, wanting to be accepted by that community, wanting the art world, whatever that looks like, you know, editorial work, galleries, whatever, like wanting to be greeted and brought in warmly, right? And of course, I can't speak for everybody, but for me, like, I immediately felt like I am missing the mark. Like, for years, I created work that was helping me process all of the stuff I was going through, but it was, it always felt like I'm not telling the whole truth, or like I'm cutting off something and leaving it inside and putting, and the artifact is incomplete that I'm creating.
What was that journey like to, once you noticed that there was an incompleteness, what was that journey like? And then did you notice a big shift once you incorporated more of who you were into your work?
Yeah, it was like, I think what was a big tell for me was I started creating work that was, and like getting bigger clients, which was exciting. And initially, you know, you get an email from a big client, like a dream client, and you're like, ah, I'm so excited, you know, it's happening. And I would complete the work. And although there's a thrill, I think, anytime to walk into a store and look at a magazine and find your name right next to an illustration or something like that, the excitement and even like the sense of having accomplished something was gone in a second. Mm. It left me. It was like, whoosh. And I was like, oh, I think I'm supposed to enjoy this. Why aren't I enjoying this? Why is it leaving me? And I thought like, oh, when else has this been going on? And it was this very similar in when I was like working an office job and moving up in a company, and I would have wins helping people. I was like a people manager for a while, and that felt really good that I was helping people. But my personal accomplishments, yeah, I'd take them and they would leave me so quickly. That feeling of accomplishment, that feeling of satisfaction, or like, you know, this, a sense of purpose wasn't there, I guess. And I think that's what I'm kind of like dancing around, is like, I felt like I was creating work and I was having a fun time. And there's nothing wrong with creating work like that your whole life. But for me, I got a big internal snag, which was, where's the purpose? I felt like, okay, I've, you know, experienced a roller coaster of a life, to make a long story very short. And I just really felt like I didn't go through all of these things to not fully process this and give something back to other people to help them, so that they maybe don't have to have as gnarly as a path as I had.
Yeah.
So it was around that time when my creative career really started picking up, and I was like, oh my, this is falling flat internally, even though I'm like having fun and I'm socializing and I'm getting these opportunities, and I'm still incredibly grateful for all the work that I got to do and the clients I got to work with. But there was this element that was like, oh, you know, you're unsatisfied somehow, so let's work on that.
Yeah, so you were getting your dream clients. So from the outside, it looked like, you know, you were hitting highs. But yeah, on the inside, you felt like it was out of alignment. Like there was missing part of the deeper part of you, the purpose of why you're here.
Or it was just like, it felt very much like, kind of like, let's say you're going to the movies and you walk to, like, the movie's not for an hour, and so you go and get a coffee and then you go to the bookstore and you're wandering around. I felt like I was in the bookstore wandering around waiting for the movie. Like, I know that what I'm doing and where I am right now feels good and right. Like, it still felt right. But it was like, I know that this is a stop before getting to something much bigger.
Yeah. Oh my God, I can relate to that so much. That's such a good analogy. That's such a good analogy. So do you feel like you've made it to the movie theater?
For sure.
Tell us about that.
I really think that making it to the movie theater for me was really, if you could, this is, I'm a visual person. It's going to get weird. So
let's do it.
And also a medium. So it's going to get really weird. But like, if you can imagine, like, you know, I feel like my face was always kind of projected outwards, like as a sensitive and intuitive person like yourself, I walked through life like taking in way too much information and building stories and taking feedback in a way that I think was like build, you know, it's sometimes it's a healthy way to build a sense of self by taking in information and your response, like, oh, I said something and this person didn't like it. Like, maybe I shouldn't say something that way, you know? But I think I was taking in way too much information from other people and not knowing it. Mm-hmm. And that was really hindering my ability to get to know myself. So at a certain point, particularly during COVID, like in fall of COVID, instead of calling it 2020, I moved from San Francisco up to Southern Oregon, where I don't really know many people. Like, my mom lives across town, so I get to see her, which is great. But I, you know, no community up here. And I just moved into this house that's on an old plot of land and decided to be up here alone. And there were a lot of things that I thought I would get out of it, but it was like a full body yes, which I can't say happens to, like, wow, you know, all of the time. And it was like a blur, like finding the house, renting the house, moving. And it felt like it all happened really fast. And then when I got here, I was like, what the hell did I do? What have I done? I don't know anybody. Like, what's happening? Like, it's 15 degrees. Are you kidding me? It's freezing. Wow. Cause you know, I'm not, never lived with the seasons before. And I just, it took me really isolating myself actually to get to the point where instead of like looking everywhere else, like directing all of that attention to outside stimuli and like flipping my face around inward.
Wow.
And everything has really unfolded from there, like reconnecting with myself, really understanding what it is that I find interesting and the types of relationships that I want to build. My reconnecting with my sense of intuition and really trying to lean into that, which then really kind of exploded things as far as psychic experiences, mediumistic experiences. And I really feel like that unfolding has been like the movie theater for me. And my creating along through that whole journey with writing and illustrating and some painting here and there. But yeah, it's been a really wild ride, I think, for everybody since 2020, obviously. But it's been especially strange going off on this weird journey to go like live in a hole by myself and figure out what the hell's going on.
I mean, how amazing that you trusted yourself and trusted these pings you got to move, and how fast it all came together feels kind of magical. And that was what you needed to find your way to the movie theater, you know? Like, it's so incredible that you were able to trust yourself and to just keep going step by step. So I'm so curious about the mediumship and the psychic experiences. Like, had you always had a connection to that realm, or did it just kind of unfold once you had time to listen to your inner world?
I had a lot of strange experiences as a kid.
Okay.
I didn't really talk to people about it because I knew it was weird. We also, my family growing up, we had an array of issues. Like, our family was tough. There was a lot of mental health issues, substance abuse, things like that. So I really tried, and I've learned in therapy, this was what I was doing. I really tried to be someone that like made things okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so me having these weird experiences, I just thought, I don't want to make this any weirder than it already is. You know, I really didn't want to be a problem, even though I think that I just want to say, like, sometimes that's just a self-perception.
Yeah.
And I do think that if I were more open, you know, the world wouldn't have fallen apart. But it was a coping mechanism, I think, also to keep it to myself, because when everything is like so chaotic around you, like, you need a strong inner world to kind of get you through.
Mm-hmm.
And I think keeping in touch with that inner world, like a lot of mediums, you talk to a lot of mediums, they have had a rough time growing up. They had to go inward very young. Okay. And sometimes they go through a period of, like myself, of kind of like denying and wanting to turn everything off and like not be so sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
But then it kind of gets louder and comes back later on.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so for me, I've been a prolific dreamer. I've always had really wild dreams. And my first, at least that I'm aware of now, my first psychic experience was really intense and scary. And I didn't know that it was a premonition until 10 years later.
Wow.
But I remember it being like the most alarming dream I've ever had. And it was like very clear. And I just knew, like, oh, it was about knowing about my brother's passing, which then passed when I was 17. So it was about 10 years. And I knew it. Like, I made an effort over those 10 years, because like we loved each other, but, you know, we were kids, and so we'd get in fights and stuff. And I always made an effort to be more understanding, like, really let things lie. And like, I really tried not to bug him and just really tried to enjoy being around him. Like, even the last time I saw him in person, I had this weird feeling, and I bought a throwaway camera and I just took tons of pictures of him.
Mm.
And then I forgot about it. And after he passed, I was like, around the time that he passed, I was like, oh, I have this camera. I got to get all of these pictures developed. But yeah, I had that was a really, really strange experience for me to be so young, like 7 or 8, and to be like, this dream is telling me my brother's going to pass before me, young.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then 10 years from then, finding out that the way he passed in the dream was symbolized in how he actually ended up being passing. And aside from that, I just had a lot of like really even super goofy premonitory dreams, like things that you would think, why would I need to know that? Like, if there's any sort of spiritual intervention that's like having me have this dream, what? Like, I remember in my early 20s, my dad was living in Hayward. He had, that's a whole story, but he had come out of the hospital after a period of time being in there. And so I was living in San Francisco at the time, and I had to take BART all the way to Fremont. And I was going to visit him the next day. I used to go about once a week or once every 2 weeks to visit him. And I had a dream the night before I was going to see him that I called him on the phone and I said, hey, Dad, I'm going to stop at the grocery store. Do you want me to pick up anything for you on my way there? And he said, cream cheese. And I just woke up, and it was this short little dream, but it was crystal clear. And I was like, well, that's a stupid dream, whatever, you know. But then the next morning I slept a little bit longer. And then I was like, what if I call my dad and ask him, you know, I'm going to go to the grocery store. What do you want? So I call him on the phone and I'm like, I'm going to Safeway or something. Can I get you anything? And he says, cream cheese.
Wow.
And I thought that was so funny, because I was like, what is even the point of that? Like, of course, you know, now my dad has cream cheese, because he wasn't able to get groceries for himself at the time. Right, so I was helping out here and there, but his friend was getting him groceries, his neighbor. So it was not normal for me to even ask that, because his neighbor was always kind of running errands for him. And it's so weird. And then, of course, I can't help it. I've read too many books about, like, time and space and metaphysics and stuff to be like, so that dream made that happen. Because if I hadn't had that dream, then I would have never thought to call him and ask him to see if he was going to need cream cheese. Right. And I'm like, is his spirit in the dream space telling me he needs cream cheese? I, like, what's happening? So...
And how much was, like, for him and how much was for you, too, to, like, trust those abilities, you know? Like, no matter how silly it might be, like, sometimes, I mean, I also, like, experience some psychic phenomena. And, like, sometimes the images are just so silly. Like, it'll just be, like, someone decorating a Christmas tree or, you know, it's, like, just so random and so silly sometimes that, like, I don't know, it's, like, it's spirituality isn't like totally like serious, you know, it's not like this like
definitely not
serious thing. It's like so novel and bizarre.
It's like us. We're weird. It's weird.
It's we're weird. It's weird. It's like the universe is such a strange, mind-bendingly like weird place. Like reality is so much stranger than fiction.
Totally. I mean, I just had a myriad of experiences like that growing up. And I started around that time, that was after my brother passed. Like, I really feel like a lot of things unlocked after my brother passed when I was 17.
Yeah.
And I really started feeling him around, and it really didn't feel like a wishful thinking sort of thing, because at the time I was really trying not to think about it. I had terrible anxiety after he passed. It was not so great leading up to it, but afterwards it was really bad. I remember having like a panic attack for the first time and thinking I was dying. Anyone who's had a panic attack knows what that is. Or losing your mind, right? And it really, what was penetrating those moments were these like images, like clear images of him in my mind's eye, and intuiting things from him, like messages. It's not like he was speaking, but it was like, I would get the feeling like someone just put their hand on my shoulder and said, like, you're okay, or let's walk this way home, or something like that. Like, I felt like he was around. Of course, I didn't learn until much later that that's how a lot of mediumship works. You know, sometimes there are messages that come through clairaudiently that you do hear, but it's internally. But other times it's getting these impressions that are coming from, you know, the whole rainbow of abilities, right? You'll get a sensing and a knowing, a feeling. You might hear something, you might smell something, and all of that is telling you something.
Yeah.
And the more that you do it, the more you understand, you know, the messages that are coming through. So I really think that my brother really kind of helped unlock a lot of things for me. But it wasn't, I mean, like you're saying, like not all of it is super serious. Not all of it is also super lovely. Like, I definitely have had some scary experiences, mostly when I was much younger and I didn't know what was going on. And I felt like I saw a psychic in my early 20s, and he was describing to me what I was going through. So I felt like, oh, he's legit. Except he was like, yeah, you could actually very much be doing what I'm doing, which I thought was, I was like, yeah, all right, sure. You know, that's not real. Thank you, but nope. But the things that he was saying about what I was experiencing, like those little things that were trickling in, or even some of those scary experiences, he was like, if you can imagine yourself as like a television set and your antenna has not been tuned, like you're kind of getting this like leaky signal. So things are coming in and it's trying to get your attention and put you on a path. But you're kind of going like, that's weird, cool, you know, I'll write it down in a journal and like not touch it. Because it's, you know, it did freak me out in the beginning. Right. Like, unless it was a visitation dream or very gentle, if anything was a little more aggressive, of course I was like, what the hell is that? You know, I grew up watching horror movies. So I was like, this is scary.
Right. And if you didn't have any, like if it wasn't part of your culture to know what was happening, or if it wasn't nurtured by someone in your life and it was just flooding you, like I could see how that would be totally scary.
Yeah. And like there was, like I did grow up, like my dad always listened to Art Bell.
Yeah.
He was really into, I mean, he's into paranormal stuff. And I found out later, and I am still getting like breadcrumbs from my family in the Midwest about our family history. But like there's lots of people in our family that have been using tools of divination, that have been, you know, reading cards or just intuitive. And my mom's side as well. I mean, everyone seems has a heightened sensitivity. So I'm not surprised, because that was already kind of like in my world. And I think watching horror movies too, like I think anyone that watches horror movies like has some, it's almost like tickling a part of ourselves that like knows there's more. Whether or not it's based in reality is, that's another thing. But it's like being able to get a hit of something we know is there, but maybe we haven't fully walked toward. I can't remember your question.
I was just so curious about how the mediumship aspect of where you're at right now came into play. And yeah, if you had experienced it in your childhood, and also what's that like now? Are you working with people one-on-one, like doing readings? And how does like mediumship interplay with your creative career as well? Like how does that all fit together now?
Yeah. So it's like, how do I make a really long story fit into a short period of time? I really, along with like coming up here and going inward and feeling also like by going inward, all of the things that I used to ignore or downplay were dialed up.
Yeah. That makes sense.
And to be such like a sensitive person and to also be in isolation, it's like, it can be really helpful. Like I have no idea how this would have unfolded if I were still in San Francisco, especially in my old apartment, which was incredibly noisy. But being able to be in silence, be more connected to nature up here and have all of this time to myself working from home, it allowed me to learn how to listen more regularly. I feel like previously I would wait to be struck with an event or an intuitive hit that was so loud, and then I would hear it and consider it. But now I realize, like, I really think we're all pulling in stuff. We're all channeling all the time.
Yeah.
There's our intuition, but there's also other stuff going on. And this is really the first time in my life where I feel like it's almost like I came up here and I was able to, for lack of a better way of saying it, like marinate in myself and really like get pickled in myself, because I felt almost like for so many years I was moving really fast, just not having a lot of time to, I was self-reflecting, but I was not getting to the center. And I really feel like I just got up here and it was like everything's quiet. And if you can imagine like a person as an antenna sending out a signal, then I'm sending out this signal. It's bouncing off the walls in this house and then hitting me. It's almost like I felt like the waves were not coming back and hitting me before. And so that was incredibly important for me to fully understand, like, what am I putting out there? What is mine? You know, what am I picking up on that's truly mine? What's this other stuff that's coming in? Like, sometimes I would sit down and write and not even intend on doing, like, you know, free association writing or channeled writing, but I'd write some stuff and I'd be like, I don't know where that came from.
Right.
Like, that makes sense to me and is profound to me, but I definitely didn't come up with it because it's also advice for me. It's not.
Yes.
It's not what I'm doing. It's what I need to be doing or what could help me at the moment. And that really, I mean, I started writing within like a month and a half of coming up here. And that just was an incredible tool for me to really understand, like, what am I even doing? And what's trying to communicate with me? And does this mean that this is like a new way for me to share creatively something with the world to help people? Because that's always been something I really, really wanted to do, that I felt like, again, like the work I was initially doing was great, but it was not what I feel like I came here to do, basically.
Yeah. And how do you see that? Do you see like your illustration as being supportive of this bigger purpose? Because I struggle with that too. I really relate to your story so much, because I feel like what I'm sort of exploring is like the psyche and coaching and like helping other people figure out their purpose. But then I have this like love for illustration, and I'm like, how do they marry? Like, is it just supporting that? And like, or is it just like a feedback loop? I guess what I'm trying to ask is like, I don't know. I think maybe because I'm still figuring it out, it's like, it is the same thing, but like, yeah. And I just really see like there is a similar thread there to me as well. And I don't know what my question was, but I like, just
how
like,
do they marry?
Yeah. Like, how do they marry? And like, how do you weave the two together? Yeah.
Yeah. I think, you know, like we said initially, I think even before we started recording, you know, sometimes it really does feel like things happen for a reason. And I certainly, like, I came to this realization about a year ago that, like, oh, I really understand. If there was a plan at all for me, like, I get it. Like, I get why I went through a lot of things. I understand the order. Like, even working my corporate job was so, even though inevitably unfulfilling, especially later on, I had a really good time there for a while. But even that, I think, helped me. It built a bridge to make it possible for me to then move to doing freelance, because it had polished me up and made me a bit more professional. I mean, previously I was working in restaurants, I was doing service work, I was a barista for a long time. Like, I was not really, I was young and I didn't have a lot of experience. I didn't go to college. And so I thought, like, I didn't know what I could do for myself. And working that corporate job, and like, even though I wasn't necessarily feeling those accomplishments that I was, you know, making along the way, I really think I was getting smarter and having a lot of experiences, especially working with other people and people managing. I mean, there was a lot of intuiting going on to be able to be like a successful manager. Like, I think being a sensitive person, you know, even though I don't think that I'm necessarily for the corporate world anymore, I really hope there's other intuitive people that are working in there helping everybody else, because there's so much information everywhere and so many people with these different needs. And being able to intuit like what needs to happen when to help people and help build things is so important. And like, learning how to do that was so important for me to then move into being creative full time and like writing contracts, because I used to do some contract review in the corporate job, and like really just like getting really good etiquette. And also speaking in front of large rooms of people, having to do like quarterlies, you know, like all of this was building to my confidence of like, even though this might not be natural for me, total, not a natural environment for me, doing math on spreadsheets, no way. Like doing like speaking in front of people, looking at graphs with like a laser pointer, absolutely not natural for me at all. But it did give me the confidence of like, oh, if I can do all of this and succeed with all of these things that are so unnatural to me and also maybe not even interesting, like what can I do with something I really love now that I know that I can do all of this, you know?
Right, yeah.
So that really helped.
Yeah. It reminds me of like how Carl Jung talks about the libido as like this life energy. And it's like, if you were able to do that with you know, maybe liking it a little bit. Like,
yeah,
when you are sort of like in your center and in your genius, like what you could do with that energy, that like libido.
Yeah.
Just, yeah. And I think just all those skills you build, like those micro skills you build along the way, you need them. And I think like, totally. Especially when you own your own business, you're a freelancer, you have to like have, there's so many roles, right?
Oh yeah. And I think that's another thing. It's like really understanding that if you really are, and you know, wanting to go full speed ahead at something, if you're jumping in like I did, which was like, I had a life raft. I'd saved a bunch of money from working that job for many, many years. So that was like, that enabled me to do it. And I understand that's a privilege for sure. But I felt like I want to go 1,000% on this and see what I can do.
Yeah.
So I jumped in, and it's like all of these tools that I'd picked up along the way, I'm not even like paying attention. It's just I've changed, right? Like I do this differently. But you really need to understand, like, I think what I'm trying to say is I came into it knowing that it was going to be multifaceted. Like I knew I was going to have to do all of this contract stuff. There's lots of paperwork. There's lots of drafts. There's lots of people management. Also working with some clients, not every client has worked with creative people before. So they may not know how best to work with you to get, you know, so both parties are happy. And even in that, I see all of that work I was doing with clients and pushing myself to produce work constantly. I was like always creating new work constantly. Like even when I didn't feel like it, I was still making myself do it. And it really got me to, again, like closer and closer to myself, closer to what I wanted, closer to finding like my own style, because you can only really find that by continuing, you know, you don't find it by looking, you find it by making. And and I think all of those things have come together for me and kind of formed just who I am creatively, which is a bit of an octopus. like I do readings one-on-one for people over Zoom. I have done some in person, which were lovely. But mostly over Zoom because I'm in this small town. And I, even when I'm working mediumistically, being a visual person, so much of like even the medium of seeing things comes through creatively. Like if I'm picking up, if there's a message coming through that's showing me like, you know, there's three sisters in the family and the third sister has been experiencing mental health issues and the spirit that's coming through wants to talk about that. I see it as like graphite scribbles, like over in between three women. So I'll see things. Sometimes I'll see like watercolor wash over things. Other times I'll see like black ink covering like a part of the body that the spirit wants to talk about.
Gotcha.
So it's interesting. It's all kind of like this. It's all moving and swimming around. And, you know, like the work that I share online, some of the work is just words because it feels, you know, as a creative person, sometimes you know when something is done, you know, it doesn't need more, doesn't need embellishing. And so I will add imagery if it feels like it needs it. If it's, you know, it's almost like saying, if I said, like, if I was trying to say the wall is blue, but instead I said to you, wall blue, maybe the illustration would be the. And that's like kind of a really out there way of trying to explain it. But it's like, I'm trying to complete a thought. I'm trying to complete a sentence. And if the sentence that I've shared or the words that I've shared need something to make it land, at least for me, then I will add some sort of illustration and the other way around as well, and add words if it feels like it needs it. And a lot of the work, especially in the last year that I've really been doing more readings with people on a regular basis, it's so funny. It's like, I notice a lot of intuitive people talk about like things that come up in the collective tend to hit sensitive people first. And it's like, because a lot of us sensitive, intuitive people, a part of, I don't know if it's an agreement or if it is just the nature of how things work, but it's like, it hits us first so that we can help in a way be like way showers, right?
Right.
Like,
right.
I can get through this, so can you.
Yes.
And all of this, like, kind of like life upside down, kind of turmoil, because this, my kind of path moving into mediumship and doing this more regularly and accepting all of that was rocky and like full of me, you know, at times like not wanting it, but then moving forward and also not wanting to tell anybody what I'm up to. Like, I could talk for hours about just what absolute torture it was for me, and can still be sometimes, to be fully honest about all of this spiritual stuff, because I didn't want to, you know, you can't control how people perceive you.
Right. Yeah.
You can be as articulate as you can be at the time, but I had so many concerns about that, you know, already having a successful creative career and not wanting to lose like trust with clients, like not wanting to lose a seat at the table because now I'm like super woo-woo or something, you
yeah.
know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I hear that.
Which is funny because I've even found that I feel like what I tend to get from the super woo is that I'm not woo enough. And from people who are not woo at all, I think I'm really woo. So I'm a little bit in the middle.
Where do you feel like when you look around at people who are kind of in your world, who are the people who really like are expanding you? And is it more of like the woo, or is it more of like who are you envious of, and who are you like, where are you heading, I guess?
I really have to tell you, like, where I'm at is continues to be something that continues to come up in readings, which is I still feel like for the last 3 years, and still now, I'm still feel like I'm moving through the threshold.
Okay.
Like, yeah. The threshold has been long.
Yeah.
It has not been like a thin doorway. It's been a long tunnel.
Like a full initiation.
Yeah. And I've had to walk through it blindfolded and to trust. And that's not to say I didn't rip the blindfold off many times trying to see, still couldn't see anything. But it's been, how does this feel in my body?
Mm-hmm.
What's also confirmation in my dreams? I mean, there's so much information I've gotten in my dreams about myself, and information that is evidential pertaining to other people's experiences that's coming up in my dreams that's showing me like I'm on the right path. And it's really, I can't really remember exactly what the question was. This is what happens. You get two very sensitive, intuitive people, and we're like, I can just like talk out of myself onto the roof.
I just like, I want to follow what you're saying. So just keep.
Okay. I remember now. Sorry. So what's been coming up in the collective in all of these readings, especially in the last 4 months, is people getting to this threshold point.
Yeah.
They know they want to make a change.
Yeah.
They know where they're at doesn't feel good anymore. And they realize, actually looking backward, it hasn't felt good for a while, but now it's getting to the point where it's actually painful. Like, it's actually to the point where it is ruffling feathers. It is like, I mean, the egg is cracking, basically, whether you like it or not. And I really felt like that was how things went for me. I mean, you know, like you said earlier, like, that's great that you could trust yourself to make this big change, you know, move up here and do all of this. But I really felt like I didn't have a choice. It was like, I know this, I have to do it, because I mean, it sounds totally melodramatic, but it was like, I can't move unless I do this. Like, I can't get out of these bad feelings. I can't get out of you know, it's like clearly being presented with something very obvious, except you can't understand it. And being able to just trust, like, I know I want more for myself. I know there is more that I'm not listening to. And I need to walk towards wherever the energy I feel is pulling. It's almost like, I was talking with another medium about it the other day. It's like being, if you could imagine like a vacuum pulling, it's almost like feeling that, like your energy is kind of like pulling you in a direction, and then not feeling that magnetic pull for all of these other things that maybe in the past you would have been like, oh, I'll do that. But it's like suddenly you can't because it doesn't have that energy. It's not pulling you.
And if you turn against it, that's when it's like almost like your physical realm has to show you that like you're turning against yourself.
Yeah. And even like little bits of intuition too. I mean, like it can feel really heavy and intense if you don't answer the phone call. Yeah. But also it can also be very, very playful. Because I don't want to freak anybody out. Like, I mean, you might have strong feelings, but also it might, the redirections may move into a very playful way because that's how you need it to kind of come to you.
Can you speak about that? Like an example?
Yeah, like, so I, two friends of mine, they run a place in Mendocino, Spirit Camp, and it used to be an old Bible camp, but they teach meditation and breath work. So they, you know, took a lot of the old or all the old iconography down and just made it this really kind of like glamping retreat. It's really beautiful. And the second time I went down there last summer, I wasn't really sure because I was like, oh, I really don't want to spend money right now. And I got, you know, it's a lot of gas to drive down there. And it is a really, really long drive from here. And I had some work I had to do and I was procrastinating. And I was like, I don't know, like, let me meditate on it. So I sat in this chair and like went into a meditation and was asking questions. And I was like, should I go down there? And there was this man in his underwear. And he just said, yeah, you should go down there. It's all good. Go down there. And I remember getting such a warm feeling from this man. And I was like, who is this man?
Like, this is in your mind's eye.
Yeah.
Okay.
In the same way that I'll have like meditation or in a reading. Yeah. And he was like, yeah, totally. Like, don't worry about it. And so I just felt totally free and happy to go down there. And I go down there and I haven't even told him this, but I didn't realize it was him until the second day we were there. It was super hot. We all had gone swimming and then we were on this compound, like in the grass, and he's just running around in his underwear. And I realized that's the guy.
That's incredible.
And he came across like so silly. And I'm like,
Like his energy was like inviting you.
Yeah.
Down there.
And it's these like little things that can, if you listen to them, I mean, that's the thing I think where we can get caught up and think like, oh, I just made that up. Or it's like, you know, in the moment, like if I hadn't gone down there, I would have never known. If I didn't listen to that, I would have never known that there was some sort of thread that was saying it was okay for me to go down there, right? Like having that psychic moment made me feel like, oh, I'm in the right place at the right time, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. That's so cool. That's so beautiful. Okay. I was like shaking when you were saying you feel like you're here to help people who are like about to go through this threshold or maybe at the threshold and things haven't been going well for a while and maybe they're starting to hit a crisis, right?
Yeah.
And you know, because you're the wounded healer, like you've gone through that, like you can now help other people through it. And like, that's exactly what I'm here to do too. And it's like maybe a little bit of a different approach. But like, while you're saying that, I was just like, yes, yes. And I really do think like maybe that is like we are those sensitive people who are, we've gone through it. We're now able to help our peers go through it.
Totally. I think it's subterranean. And so we pick up on these rumblings because we're more sensitive. And then when it becomes more real, like in the day to day and everybody's energy is bouncing it back and forth, that's when the majority starts going through the same thing. We're just picking up on the tectonics earlier.
I kind of see it as a chrysalis, like you were talking about the threshold. Mm-hmm. And I feel like new motherhood for me was like this chrysalis where I spent years as the goo, like when the caterpillar melts down into the goo.
Putrefaction, yeah.
I have, you're talking about, anyways, why can't I? Like, I have such a blind spot for words. Like, when, like, there's a perfect word and it's like in my blind spot and I can't see it. So I try to grab a word around it and then that word just sounds dumb.
Well, we're talking about very
abstract, strange.
And it's, I think also, you know, sharing this type of conversation with someone can be challenging because there's excitement behind it because we don't get to do it as much as we want to.
Yeah.
And so we're like, let me tell you about this other thing and this other idea I have. And then I have no idea what. Yeah, like what you originally asked, but now we're here. So, but I mean, I understand the chrysalis concept. I mean, I was having visions and meditation that led me to the whole process of initiation, like the Jungian perspective of initiation.
Yeah.
And I remember like looking at all of these illustrations of like the alchemical individuation.
Yes, alchemy is the word I was trying to conjure.
Yeah.
Because you're not saying putrefaction. So yeah, it's like total alchemy.
Totally. And that's all, I mean, it's all so fascinating because it's, I mean, it's so old. And, you know, even before all of that kind of became something in the collective, it's like, these are still human processes of evolving and growing, you know, our minds. And processing information and learning what's right for us and what's not. And I mean, it's such a symbol for everything that I believe is going on right now, you know, the different phases. And I mean, I would suggest, like, if anyone is catching a whiff of that in their lives of like, oh no, what used to work for me, what used to feel good doesn't feel good anymore. Mm-hmm. To just know that there's so many people that feel the same way. There's so many people that have been on that path for a long time. And it gets so good. It gets so fun, so interesting, surprising, magical. You have no idea like how cool life can get if you just go, this was good enough. But I know that I want more.
Right.
Like there's so much more there for you and so much support too. I mean, that's one thing that took me a really long time to understand also, because I've always been someone who would go and hide and take care of myself when something would happen. And I mean, COVID hit and I go to live alone in the middle of nowhere, right? Like it's deeply ingrained. And not everybody has to be like that, right? Like this was just how I needed to do things. But there, I think if you really start opening up, I mean, that's a big part of this whole process is like at a certain point, you need to start really, you know, you may have gone far in your mind of where you want to go or who you want to be or what you want to be expressing, how differently you want to be expressing yourself or the life that you want for yourself. But as long as it stays internal, you're really limiting your ability to experience yourself as you truly are in the world and to even allow good things to come in and to show you that there's like a welcoming party. Like once you start really opening up and being who you are inwardly on the outside.
Yeah. And how do people begin that? Is it like a creative practice or journaling or like what would you suggest people start with?
I think you should start with what makes you feel good. I mean, for one, anything, you know, as long as you're not hurting yourself or others, like anything that makes you feel expansive. And to explain that more, like something that, like, there's a quote I shared I am not going to be able to quote it because it's long and I can't remember, but there's the gist of this quote from Lisa Marciano's book, The Vital Spark, that came out this year that I really loved. Part of the quote was like, what has energy for you? And that's really like been a post-it in my brain when I think of like, if I don't know how my day is going to unfold, I just think like, what has energy for me today?
Yeah.
Like, do I feel like going out and like working in the yard and like putting on a podcast and just being with my thoughts and, you know, or do I feel like creating something? Do I feel like building something? Do I feel like I need connection? Do I need to call my friends? And, you know, all of these different options for things that might have energy for you, and really trying to take baby steps to like follow that. That's one thing that's come up in a handful of readings is a spirit coming through and kind of expressing things in their life that they had done and how they'd wished, or they learned that they could do things differently. Like they didn't know that they could be as honest as they wanted to be. And so they don't want their loved one that's sitting in front of me to have those same barriers. And so that's a message that comes through a lot. Like, go, like, what actually is exciting? Like, aside from try to shut off, you know, your inputs for what other people might think of what you're doing, and just try one thing a day that is for you and that is for you and your new path or wherever you're feeling pulled. And journaling is a big, big one. Meditation, drawing, but also even just, you know, even just engaging in the evening, like, oh, like sometimes this happens to me. I'm like, there's never anything to watch. I really feel like watching a movie. It's just, I hate scrolling on the TV. Like, I'd rather just go read a book or something. And sometimes I'm like, duh, you love old movies. So just go and pick one, you know, like go on Canopy or Criterion or whatever and like pick an old movie to watch. And I'll watch it and it reconnects me with a part of myself that I wasn't paying attention to before, which is like, I love old films. I love the way that they're filmed. I love the way that they make me feel. I love the soundtrack that they used full orchestras. Like, it engages my senses in a way that like wakes up a part of me, you know? And that's what the things that we love, they can really, if we really lean on them when we need to, they can really help keep us alive, you know, like really not, you know, not just in a mental health sort of way, but also in like a stoking the fire sort of way, creatively. Yeah.
Enliven your life.
Totally.
Yeah. And I think like that feeling of like what gives you energy, it's a compass, right? So it's like things, you enjoy things for a reason, like that is life telling you to go that direction.
Totally.
As long as it's not hurting anyone. But
totally.
Or you. Yeah.
And the more that you listen to that, I've noticed, the more you start picking up on other emotions also that are in your field. So it's like, oh, if I start really listening to, it's a great like baby step to start really understanding more about what you're going through and what's coming in for you. Because once you start following some of these cues of what feels good, then you're already getting this, you know, hit in the reward system of the brain of like, oh, I'm going to keep paying more attention to how I feel and, you know, keep seeking out these experiences. And while you're doing that, you're going to feel like, oh, now that I know how good, like what good really feels like and satisfaction feels like, now I'm going to really be able to tell what is actually pulling energy for me. Like what is actually
draining?
What's draining? Yeah. What's also a distraction?
Right.
You know, is it drama with other people? Mm-hmm. Is it scrolling on your phone? You know, there's so much information that we're getting when we're just sitting still in a room alone by ourselves with no TV, right?
Yeah.
There's information all the time. And to just, I think, really, I guess what I'm trying to say is we need to make the time available for ourselves as like a little treat.
Yeah.
Like if you only have 10 minutes in the evening when you're brushing your teeth and washing your face and getting ready for bed, spend that time really thinking like, okay, tomorrow, what can I do for myself that would be lovely? Like, what can I do to have 10 minutes where I'm not getting input from the outside world? So maybe like take the music, you know, off, don't listen to a podcast. Like, can you have 10 minutes where you just delight in things that you enjoy and seeing where that takes you? If you can create a practice of that, because it expands. There's no way you're going to do that for 10 minutes every day, like clockwork for like 2 months and not be changed by that.
I love that. You know? I love that. That's really beautiful. Yeah, because it feels like what I'm hearing in this conversation is that like you've really built this trust with yourself, and it's almost like the key is to be more of yourself. There's this magnetic core there where everything kind of goes into alignment and kind of clicks into place. If you can follow who you are, follow what you love, and then be brave enough to be that and share that. And for a lot of people, they've sort of lost the trail on what it is they enjoy. And so by following that trail, like what you can find, like what you can see of it through like what you love, what you enjoy, it starts to strengthen. And then if you just keep following that, you found yourself and you found more clarity. And then it's about like embodying that and then sharing that.
Yeah. I mean, it's just starting with like making a pinhole.
Yeah.
You know, and over time it gets bigger and bigger and bigger until it's, you're in this life. And for me, that aspect of things, there's just zero woo to it at all.
Right.
To me, that's just like simple, like, how do I get to know myself? Like, it's even outside of like psychotherapy, just like, how do I find out how to make myself happy? Mm-hmm. Or how do I, happy is a tough word. I feel like it's so loaded and means so many different things to different people. But like, how do I feel good living on earth?
Right.
I want to feel good, right? I don't want to feel bad. So if I want to feel good and I want to have fun experiences and I want to engage with the world and, you know, maybe that means building more connection or being more creative or, you know, just spending more time doing what you love, like that just...
It's practical.
Yeah. It just starts with, yeah, I don't want to feel bad. I want to feel good. So
I want to do more good things to build that snowball of feeling good. Like totally. And then the woo aspect of it, not everybody needs to be in touch with that. But do you feel like you are in touch with that just to be a guide to help other people? Or if people can just, you know, follow those instructions, the practical way to feel good in their life, like where does this added layer come in?
I think, I mean, it's been there in different forms for me throughout my life that I've been aware of. You know, I've been very aware that there's something else going on.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, like many things, something can have, and like in mediumship readings, like a symbol will come in, but it might be triple-sided, quadruple-sided. Like the message is saying different things in one, you know, dice that comes through. It's got different sides. And with this kind of spiritual or woo kind of side of things for myself and where I'm going, I feel like it's a part of why, it's a part of what I can give to other people.
Right.
It's a way for me to help other people. It's also a way for me to help myself. I feel like it's been, whether or not I was cool with it for many years, it's been like almost like having an invisible family helping me along, you know? Mm-hmm. Like I've had my family, but I've also had like lots of other intervention, you know, and visitations. and experiences that have kept me interested in myself, kept me asking questions, kept me thinking, why, what the hell, like, you know, kept me curious. And I think because I have hit some incredibly low points in life, like just recovering from loss in the family, you know, a long period of time where I had very low self-esteem and really was just trying to get along. I just feel like I really needed, or at least I'm very grateful to have this connection that's continued, even though I did try to shove it down or turn it off for a long period of time, because it really helped me. Because I was like, well, the whole world can be totally inconsistent, but this is consistent. Mm-hmm. It's almost like having a very, like a touchstone almost, that's really helped me, as almost like weird and mystical or, you know, spooky it may be perceived. It's been a constant for me. And gosh, that just reminds me of the whole concept of a constant in Lost. I don't know if you ever watched Lost, the TV show.
I didn't. No.
It was a good time.
The only one who didn't watch it.
But there was like this concept of like needing to find a constant in time to like keep you from like disappearing or something. I don't know. It was a long time ago. But I really feel like this has been something that has been incredibly helpful for me, and really something that I continue to think of as like a thank goodness that this is here.
Yeah.
And also I'm so excited because I know that there's just so much more.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the more that you dig into the self, the more that you dig into the unseen, I'm very wary of people who get into this line of work and seem to behave as though they have it all figured out, because I really think the more that you get into it, you may have some beliefs that start to grow and be confirmed by your experiences. But for me, it just is about it just creates more questions and more questions and allows you to dig deeper and deeper, which I personally find super fun and beautiful and fascinating and like life affirming.
Yeah, I totally get that. It's like you're a detective and it's like this great mystery and it's so exciting to explore.
I mean, that's life, right?
Yeah, that's life. And it's like so cool how you engage with life and engage with your inner and outer worlds, and how wonderful that your courage in sharing your gift and sharing your experiences. How can people work with you? If someone's listening, can they reach out to you to work with you? Whether it's like with illustration or with your mediumship, or like how would you like to work with people?
Yeah, I have tons of information, maybe too much information. There's a lot to read on my website at katieben.com, KATIEBEN.com. There's a link to all of my spirit work information and booking information as well. You can book a reading from there. You're also welcome to email me directly if you want to work with me in a creative way, or also if you have any questions. I am going to do sort of like an Ask Me Anything very soon on Instagram, just because I feel like I've been getting a lot of the same questions via email, and I just want to like help kind of answer some questions with people. One thing I will say, just as a request, which if you do work with me, you'll probably hear me say it again, is if you do have questions and you are thinking of booking a reading regarding anything that's going on, like a spirit in your house or wanting to connect with a loved one, just don't give me information.
Okay.
I really want to go in knowing as little as possible. I find the readings where, you know, if someone ahead of time like blurts out some information about who they want to connect with or whatever, it's almost like limiting the connection a little bit, because I may second guess, like if I know that you want to connect with your grandfather, I'm already going into the session with something. Right. I'd rather just go in and see what comes to me. So there's that. But yeah, and also you're welcome to engage with me on Instagram as well. And yeah, I'm just really excited to be able to make myself more available to working with people, and also to be working with this, the big mystery, the big unseen, because, you know, so much we're all getting something out of a reading, right? Like there's the sitter, there's me, and there's spirit. And it's this triangle of information and energy. And as we're all engaging in it, it's like the spirit has something that they want to, you know, a message that they want to send, a message that they want to land. I'm that, you know, mouthpiece for that. And so we'll talk about it. They receive something. And I'm also learning in the process.
Yeah.
And it's just a really incredible experience that I just love, because it's like, I use a computer and do Zoom, but I mean, essentially, you can just throw two people in a room together and learn all of this stuff and bring forward a person and learn all about them. And I'm like, your grandfather's cracking jokes and telling me all this, you know, and like giving me insights. And it's like, I just love that you don't need anything. It's like gear. You don't need any, you know. There was a time where I did tarot, and I think tarot can be an incredible tool. And sometimes I'll pull a card for myself here and there. But I love with working psychically or mediumistically that it's just there. And it's just about setting an intention and getting yourself into a space where you can kind of release some of the monkey brain humanness of you and really allow things to move through. And it's just beautiful and simple. And yeah, just it's the movie theater.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so excited for you. Like just everything you said, I'm just like, yes, 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 yes. And I just like, I feel like just talking to you like has inspired me and like put me more in alignment with myself and given me permission to, because for me, like, well, my daughter just started preschool. So now I have time to kind of like career 2.0, like, what does it look like? And so I'm trying to navigate that. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, you're such a tuning fork for people's wholeness and individuation and alignment and all those words. Like, it's just, I don't know. It's just like, I can see how powerful it is already to work with you.
Thank you. That's very kind of you to say. And I'm excited for you.
Thank you.
I mean, this is a whole new phase of life, right?
Yeah.
You're really entering into something that is unknown.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, I really feel like I've been in the bookstore and I'm like, moving into the movie theater. So I really appreciate that analogy. And I just really appreciate you being here. And I feel like I could talk, I could just go on and on and on, but I think we need to.
I know, me too.
Yeah, be respectful of the listener's time. Maybe we can get together again.
Totally. And apologies again for like being just like a full of tangents.
Oh my God. No, I love it. I was following with you the whole time. Like, okay. I want to know more. I want to know more. Like, I still want to know more. Like, I want to know if you like see, if you're at the grocery store and you see people, like if you see spirits. And
I don't see, I have had a handful of experiences where I saw something manifest in front of me. The most of the time it's in my mind's eye or sensing and feeling. I have been at the store where I've seen things, but it's, I can say it was loud in my mind's eye, like it was clear and it was like full on extra screen in between what I'm seeing. Like I was checking out of the Goodwill. This was like earlier on in my development when I was just open, wide open all the time. Like I have to kind of maintain boundaries these days.
Makes sense.
But yeah, I mean, I remember seeing something, a man next to a woman and they were family. And he was aware of me and like looked at me, which I started kind of becoming something in my toolbox at the time of with mediumship was understanding, like, I have a really solid connection when I'm locking eyes with the person who's speaking. It's not to say that the readings where the person, I don't see them as clearly, that the reading isn't still really beautiful and, you know, good. But I know that I'm like really in it. It's almost like how you know when you're having a lucid dream, suddenly you're like, oh, here I am, you mm-hmm. know, fully in it. And that was one of the first times that that happened. And I was like, oh, okay.
You're in the Goodwill. Check out.
Yep. All right. Well, that's weird. And it's not just me seeing it. It's seeing me.
Yeah. It's confirmation. It's all these little breadcrumbs on your trail of like, oh, you've up-leveled. This is an ability, a gift that you have. Yeah. Crazy. That's so amazing.
Yeah. And who knows? You know, I know so many mediums and I listen to so many podcasts. It's like, just because I was looking for some sort of like railing to hold on to when I was starting to go through all of this and it was getting like bigger and bigger and louder. And something that seems to be a very common thing for a lot of mediums is that things just continue to evolve over time. It's like, unless you're really trying to stagnate, it doesn't seem, it's things just continue to evolve and change. And like people maybe who don't, like the one Claire that I don't experience or haven't so far is taste.
Mm.
And then there's people, you know, they're like, oh, I just flit in and out between all of them, you know? And then there are people that are like, nothing I can do will get me to be able to hear anything. You know, right. They're like trying and trying, but things just continue to evolve, you know, and who knows what things will turn into, you know, or where I'll go, or if, you know, if my readings will shift, like what I'll get into, who knows?
Yeah. It's like a flower blossoming and opening. Well, thank you so much for being here today. This was wonderful. And I feel like I've just opened up so much. So I am very excited.
Awesome. Me too. Thank you so much. This was so fun. And just like, I feel like I connect with a lot of people that are intuitive and psychic or other mediums, but it is really special to be able to communicate and just like talk shop with someone who is an intuitive, but also creative.
Yeah.
Who's like producing creative work, because I think there are a lot of us, but I just don't encounter a lot of us like one-to-one often. And so it's exciting. It feels good. I had a lot of fun. So thank you for having me.
Totally. Like I said, when I was thinking about rebooting this podcast, you were like the first person I thought of because of that. Like you're this bridge between these worlds. And yeah, like it's hard to stop here because I want to know more. But yeah, thank you so much. And have a wonderful rest of your day.
Awesome. Thank you. You too.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks so much for tuning into The Friendly Unknown today. I hope you enjoyed the episode. Remember to like, comment, subscribe, or share the episode if you feel called to do so. You can follow Katie on Instagram at Katie_Ben. That's Katie underscore Ben, Benn underscore, or find her online at katieben.com. You can find me on Instagram at Allison Felice or at thefriendlyunknown.com. Visit today's show notes to find any additional resources from this episode, including a list of amazing recommended books and podcasts from Katie. Thanks again for listening today. Bye.